This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
On a public effort to renew and restore its image and integrity, there is a deepening need for intra-party democracy conversations to be brought into the forefront. Well, that's the view, of course, of senior researcher at My Vote Counts, Joel Brachman, who joins us now to speak about the research he did on this and, of course, also on the concept of intra-party democracy. Let me bring Joel Brachman into the studio, and he is a senior researcher at My Vote Counts. Joel, is it Brachman or Bregman?
It's Bregman.
Bregman. Right, because in South Africa, you'd have it almost both, and you...
Exactly.
Exactly. Joel, how are you, man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Joel, well, an opportune time to talk about intra-party democracy, and I think the word says what it is, the IPD, intra-party democracy. Well, let's start with the definition, and just so listeners and people would know what we're going to be chatting to or chatting about over the next, 20 or 30 minutes or so.
Sure. Thanks, Anton. Thanks again for having me.
Sure.
So, intra-party democracy, it's interchangeable with internal party democracy. It's essentially the extent to which political parties institute and then practice democratic democracy in their own internal operations.
Mm.
So, for like the most tangible examples and the issues that are closest at the heart of intra-party democracy are the way that political parties select and select and choose candidates and leaders, the way that policy is developed. It has to do with things like the way that disciplinary measures are carried out within a party.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also more larger issues around accountability and transparency and sort of general governance within the party.
Mm.
But yeah, the basic idea is how democratic a party is in its own internal operation.
Sure. In essence, we're saying how it carries out in its internal operations is the internal aspect, and what would then be pronounced about that would be we would expect them to, if they did that pretty well, we'd expect then to see a political party that would follow the same code of guidelines that they follow internally, and when they are in government, as the ANC would be in government, you would see some of those aspects being applied there as well. So if you have the intra-party democracy working well within a political party, you, in essence, would assume that you would see it working externally when it is applied in government, right?
Exactly. I mean, so one of the main takeaways from the research is that the more democratic parties are internally, especially the governing party, especially sort of the main opposition parties, that this will then filter into the political system more generally. And the culture and the practices and the values that are instilled in people in parties that are practicing good levels of democracy internally will then hopefully reflect in the way that government and the political system works more generally.
Sure. Joel, why is it important that we actually we even talk about it, and or that we think that, it should be implemented and that it's worth a conversation? Why is it important?
Sure. So there are a few reasons.
Mm.
So the first is, we really need to think about the role of political parties. So legally, they're considered, in South Africa, that is, they're considered private voluntary associations.
Mm.
And people have compared them to tennis clubs, where they are largely left to their own devices to determine the extent to which they want to be democratic.
They behave like NGOs, in essence.
In some ways.
Yeah.
They obviously can't violate laws or legislation. They can't discriminate.
Mm.
And there's some case law that sort of, gives us some guidance. They mention in the Constitution, but largely they're left to their own devices to determine how they want to run internally. And when we think about what the role of political parties should be in our multi-party democracy, they are meant to serve as representatives of the people, as interest aggregators, as connecting citizens to government. And, there are obviously many ways one can participate politically, but parties are the main vehicle through which this happens. So they need to be spaces where talent and good ideas and, you know, that rises to the top, not places where party bosses and elites and sort of control parties for the benefit or for more narrow interests. So I think it's really important that we consider what the role parties play in South Africa at the moment.
Sure. Carry on.
No, and then just to carry on with that. So it's also important because I think you also mentioned this earlier, the time now is really ripe for this discussion because of the situation that the ANC finds itself in. So it is something which, you know, parties in South Africa obviously do practice democracy internally. We're not saying that there isn't any democracy, but it's that when you don't have the right levels of it, that you can run into problems.
Sure. The question then, you know, being and I, when you go through the documentation, you see obviously that there's a contestation also that you would find of the whole concept in a sense, that it is a contested subject. It's contentious in nature, because what one would suggest, you know, in one form, you know, exists, and how a political party should operate would be very different to how somebody else would look about it or look at it. Talk to me a little bit about the contentious element within that sits around that very aspect of, you know, what is fine to you might not be fine to me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head there, because, I mean, even the definition itself is contested in the literature that we've been looking at. And, you know, another part of the issue is that intra-party democracy isn't something that everyone subscribes to. So there are critics of it who see it as being incompatible with a strong party that needs to speak with one voice, that needs to, you know, by its very nature, have levels of hierarchy and, you know, a top-down structure to maintain, to win elections, to follow on policy proposals. So even within the literature itself, there's a big debate around, you know, is IPD something which you should be pursuing? And I think you really need to look at it on a case-by-case basis. You need to look at, you know, there are countries that don't have legislation for IPD, but have deeply strong democratic cultures within their political party. And then, on the flip side, you can have legislation, but if it's not enforced and if parties don't embrace it, then it's sort of bound to fail.
And political parties have to implement it themselves. I mean, there's no overarching, you know, organization or anything. It's merely a set of characteristics, models, values, etc. And those would be internalized, and then, you know, you'd feel them in the kind of practice that they would then, you know, deliver. Is that what we're talking about in essence? It's an essence, a set of values that a party would sustain, absorb. And in essence, once you have done that, we would see the results as to how they then fulfill that in the kind of governing that they do.
That's correct. And, you know, something which I think would be quite sort of eye-opening to parties is that there's a lot of evidence to suggest that when parties do this, it's actually to their own benefit as well. So we don't, it's not getting parties to democratize more for, you know, just for the sake of it. What we see now with happening with the ANC and, you know, the speak of renewal and rebirth, it's not purely because they've decided that now is the time that they want to, you know, install some of these new values and this new ethos. It's politically expedient for them as well. They need to restore their image. They need to rebuild faith and trust. And it can also attract new people to the party. It can attract, you know, new membership, new voters. So
One could argue that what they're busy with in essence is intra-party democracy to some form of level. You know, is that they're trying to get the structures right, get the branches right, get, you know, rid corruption from the system. Make sure that all members are in good standing, and then select amongst the crop that is there the best kind of candidates, you know, to serve. In essence, if you look at that ideal picture, that and I'm not saying that they are implementing it in the ideal scenario in the ANC, but they talk about it. I'm saying, in essence, you could argue that intra-party democracy is, in essence, happening there, because those are the kind of elements that do come with intra-party democracy, the IPD.
Absolutely. When you look at some of the policy discussion documents that were released before their recent conference, they don't necessarily use the term IPD, but that's exactly what they're speaking about. Mm. So when we look at examples like the step-aside policy, like vetting of membership, ensuring that power actually rests with branches and membership on the ground, that is all central tenets of IPD. That is what's happening. You're right.
Sure. I have a question then. Why? What's the benefit? What's the benefit of, and I mean, I think we've touched on all of it sometimes, because do we, and my question is twofold. Do we subscribe to it in South Africa? That's the one thing. Do you, when you do your research and when you talk about IPD, the intra-party democracy, because, and I don't assume it's only in political parties. We're talking here as though political parties are the only instance in which you could observe intra-party democracy, but of course I'm assuming that, you know, this is where you would want it to happen mostly. But do we subscribe to it in South Africa, you know, in a large kind of way? And the second component to that question is it even possible to implement the IPD based on, and I'll give it to you this, democracy not being in a political party, but democracy being between political parties?
Sure. So, I mean the first issue is, that's correct. I mean, I don't think it's generally mentioned in the same sort of phrasing, but I mean, what we're talking about, you know, is good governance. It's around transparency, accountability, and that is obviously something which should filter through every institution.
Good, you know, governance, basically,
private,
yes.
Public, yeah. So I don't think it's that's a nice way. Actually, I like that way of sort of flipping on its head a bit and thinking of it in a lot more broader terms than just political parties. The question around, you know, as a country, do we subscribe to it? I mean, that's quite difficult to answer, I suppose. We've obviously seen problems with many of our sort of state institutions over the past few years, which have been either hollowed out or have massive issues of mismanagement and poor governance. But I think there's still very much an appetite for these types of processes, you know, and a realization that these are the types of interventions that we need to strengthen and to rebuild.
I'd put it to you as you say that you know, trust in political parties is extremely low. I think that figure sits at about 30% in the last kind of research that, you know, I've been looking at. So, you know, trust in political parties, not very good. So across the board, in essence, I think there's a massive shortage of IPD in the South African space. Would you kind of agree to that? If I put that kind of I don't want you to, you know, I don't want to get involved in the, you know, determining which political party is good and which one's better and all sorts of things. But generally, trust in political parties sitting at an all-time low of 30%, that means, if we're talking about good governments across the board, and which is in essence the IPD, not a very good place where political parties find themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, that was the Afrobarometer study from last year, so it's very recent, but less than 30% of people. I think definitely a big part of that is because of a lack of democracy in parties. But I think one of the main things which we've identified is a lack of accountability. Mm. So people see parties often as more interested and concerned with their own survival, you know, and ensuring that, you know, that their names are unsullied. So they close ranks. They often protect their own, and they don't always seem to be representing the interests of the people. Mm. And I, you know, based on what we've seen, more democracy in parties, it leads to these more less tangible, you know, things like accountability and transparency, which are central to rebuilding trust and faith in parties.
Why are, and I heard you say this in the beginning of the conversation, why are the two elements, the strongest weights that you give to the IPD when we're talking about the elements that you need to look at, why are how they select their leaders and policy positions two of the cornerstones of the IPD in essence?
So based on what I've been reading, it's that these two elements often are the greatest sort of determining factor in the way that a party operates and the sort of the values and the culture that get instilled in a party. So it's not diminishing the others, which are all which all have their own value, but I think these two are elements that have been sort of researched the most, and people have the best understanding of how this actually impacts democracy in a party.
Mm. Is it important? Is it important that people understand that, you know, through the party political space, that's not the only vehicle in which people can politically or, you know, actively develop, you know, their say in government and or develop policy and or, you know, just basically, you know, take part in governmental and or, you know, administrative policy making issues. And I use policy making issues, but sometimes in my view, in the South African context, we see the political party as being the beginning and end all of our sort of our radicalness. You know, we look at a political party to be able to, you know, do the things that we want to do. Whereas when I look at intra-party democracy and I start moving it across the board, I look at it way past just political parties, and that gives the citizenry then of a country much more input if there are other organizations working alongside and to the values of and with good governance of intra-party democracy. It strengthens the whole social aspect, doesn't it? If you look beyond political parties for your input also.
Absolutely. I mean, at Marburg Counts, I mean, one of our major focuses is on sort of how to develop, you know, active citizenship. Mm. And, you know, parties, you're right, we've come to, you know, no one can imagine a democracy without political parties, and they are seen as the cornerstone.
Yeah.
But they are very, you know, there are lots of other avenues through which one can participate politically and have one's voice heard. And provide input. So, I mean, things like the integrated development plans, you know, commenting on budgets and laws and making representations in parliament. Mm. I think that, you know, obviously parties will always have that role to play, but we give parties their power, you know.
Yeah.
By becoming a member of a party, by voting for a party, it's the individual people who make up the party who provide them with that power. And people, you know, need to go through the other avenues as well to exert and to have their voices heard. Absolutely.
Joel, when you sitting there at My Vote Counts and you're a senior researcher there and you do this kind of research and you look at the internal workings of a political party and obviously there are aspects and examples that we could go through in large scale. You know, I think of Nkandla just on one, and I, you know, things were going wrong at some point, and you know, people just followed the party political line, and mm-hmm. you know, nobody thought of intra-party democracy at that perspective. You know, at that particular time, it wasn't. You know, people weren't going there and saying, "Hey, you know what? The IPD suggests, you know, we should go back, and good governance is a definition that suggests we won two and three." When they needed to defend Nkandla, every single MP in the House at the particular mm-hmm. time defended Nkandla. And so that's what political parties will do. How do you sell this? How do you, after you've done your research and you've written, you know, documents and you've looked at, you know, the landscape, how do you sell this in the South African space to people who, you know, my experience will tell me, have their own political views and political interests at heart firstly? So how do you sell this?
I think it's important just to, you know, we need to speak to different groups. So part of our work is around, you know, public awareness, you know, raising consciousness of this issue, explaining why it's important. As part of our second phase of the research, we're going to be looking at political parties more in a more detailed fashion. The first paper was more around the theory. The next one will be a more qualitative look at political parties in South Africa and how they operate. Mm-hmm. But another element to our work is engaging with political parties.
Sure.
And we are, you know, too often, I think, in South African politics, especially in the NGO space, there's often like a combative approach. You know, everyone's attacking everyone, or we see this as, you know, needing collaboration. And there are voices in part, you know, that there are people in South Africa's parties who are open to these types of ideas. Mm-hmm. And we need to work with them. You know, it's going to be a joint effort. It needs to be a long-term initiative. But and it's obviously not the only intervention needed in our politics, but we see it as really being, you know, quite central to this project.
Mm. You know, sometimes Joel, when I see something like this in front of me, the intra-party democracy, and I see actual research done on something of this nature, and I think, you know, some things should just come naturally when you are in the public space and you are a political party. Some things should just come naturally, and you need to have good governance and, you know, and be true to all the kind of things we talk to. So, you know, it concerns me when you say, you know, for example, we are in conversations with political parties so that they can implement some of these things and, you know, and they take it seriously. I mean, it's some of the things are just, you know, need to be done. And good governance is one of those things that should just come naturally as a political party, because those are some of the political promises that you make. You don't really need somebody, you know, with a stick running up or some kind of placard, you know, every time you forget what good governance is, you know, you need to hold up the Ten Commandments or so and say, hey, you know, remember these, you know. And I mean, sometimes I think common sense should prevail. And we shouldn't have some of the aspects you're having to deal with where people are kind of reminded about the obvious.
That's true. But, I mean, if we look back at our recent past, I mean, we've had a scourge of a lack of accountability in our politics, you know, countless scandals. We're at a point where, you know, the one of the major issues, again, is that parties are these private associations in law. Mm. And, you know, MVC's approach is not that we need another law or another regulation, because we think it's more likely that this will work if parties themselves embrace it and adopt it. But you're right. I mean, these are issues which one would not think that, you know, sort of political parties who've been operating, you know, for many, many years would need to sort of be reminded about. Mm. But this is the situation we find ourselves in. And I think it's, you know, we can't just ignore what's happening. So that's why we sort of started this research and started embarking on this project.
Joel, thanks for chatting. Joel, it's Brigman, and he is a senior researcher at My Vote Counts. Joel, thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.